starting it on this teaser. You know, let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. And we do come with ears that are open and hearts that are ready to receive your word. We come expecting, Lord, so that our lives will be transformed, that we'll have answers to questions in our lives, and we'll just give you all the praise, we'll give you all the glory, and we purpose to fulfill and accomplish everything you called us to do here in this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I grew up in Minnesota, land of the frozen chosen. And so when we talk about cold weather, I mean, yeah, I'm more acclimated now to Texas weather. But I remember there was one time, more than once, but one time, this has nothing to do with the message, it's just a story. But one time it was so cold, it was like 50 to 60 below zero. And this is when they made zippers on your jackets out of metal, like the zippers were actually metal, not plastic. So when you, as a kid, you wanted to know how cold it was, you would lick your zipper on your jacket to see if your tongue stuck. Because if it stuck, you knew it was really cold, right? Well, this one time in particular, and when you see the movie when they, hey, lick a pole, don't lick the pole, right? Because it's too cold, like, you know, street pole or whatever. But there was one time it was about 60 below zero, and you only have about a minute outside before frostbite kicks in. It's that cold. You can't move, you know. And I made it indoors, and my friend, he had this cat named Snively, and Snively was an all-white albino cat. And so when he opened the door, Snively ran outside. And he said to me, oh, no, we got to go find Snively. And I'm thinking, what? I don't care about Snively. It's 60 below. If he was smart, he'd have made it back in, right? Well, 15 minutes later or so, we found Snively. And then the next day, Snively, his ears fell off. I mean, he got frostbite. They fell off smooth across. And my friend was so upset, you know, he's like, look at Snively, his ears fell off. And then he goes, but I guess it doesn't matter. I go, why? He goes, because Snively was deaf. He couldn't hear anyway. And I'm thinking like, well, why am I risking my life for Snively, right? But when you hear about cold, or I understand cold, and it is cool here in Texas, and we have a way of driving certain, you know, up north, and when I went to visit my family, the guy who owns Snively, we saw a lot of Texas trucks in the ditch because it was snowing so much. And, you know, we just go fast, but you can't do that up there. All right. So today I was praying. Actually, anybody like barbecue? Yeah, I'm not very good at it, actually. But we had a barbecue yesterday, and I cooked everything, like chicken, ribs, beef, hot dogs, bratwurst, hamburgers. And then they said, when you're done with it, you put it in the warmer, like in the grill. Like this, it's not a smoker, but the warmer. But I didn't know, because it took me a while, because I'm not that good at it. But I put some over there, and I got time cooking this over here. And then what I had put over there kept cooking a little bit and kind of got burnt. You know what I'm saying? But I smelled like so much barbecue and smoke, because I was the cook. I became a pit master in one day, I guess, but I don't know what I was doing. But when I got home, and I'm getting to a point, when I got home, I smelled like, of course, barbecue. My daughter says, my youngest daughter, she goes, I'm hungry. I go, here, you can eat my coat. She goes, but that smells like barbecue. So as I was cleaning up and doing the dishes, you know, I know it's a woman's job, but I do it once in a while to help out my wife. Amen. I know I say it can make some comments online. I'm just kidding. All right. But when I was doing the dishes, you know, as a guy, if you want to get out of doing the dishes, just don't do them well. And then your wife will say, never mind, I'll do it. Stop doing it. I'll do it. Right. But as I was doing the dishes and I was just praying about today, I felt like the Lord really impressed with me about the sermon title is, what are you looking at? And specifically, you can look at trouble or triumph. Triumphant, being triumphant, or trouble. And I understand, you know, Triumphant Word, Christian Church. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says it like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit or acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Am I too tall? Good? All right. And he will make your paths straight. So one of the first things I've noticed here that the word tells us to do, now I know growing up as a kid, I heard this many times. And you got trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, all your ways, acknowledge him, and direct your paths. And you have it in your head, but is it really in your heart to where we're actually practicing it, right? So when I look at this, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. So one of the first things that we're to do is to trust. And it can be defined here as to cling, to rely, depend, or lean upon, or to believe in. So here we're not to trust in something other than the Lord. We're not to cling, rely, depend, lean on something other than the Lord. Or we could say something more than the Lord. And so part of the second part, it says, don't lean to your own understanding. Now this is really big because I could have the tendency, and this is the way I look at scripture, is that if the Bible tells me not to do something, that means I could do it. So if he says, don't lean to your own understanding, then the tendency is, I could lean to my own understanding. You know, growing up, my dad never told me, son, don't get pregnant. You know why? Because I can't get pregnant. Right? I'm a guy. That's still the universal law. Right? So that, I was never told, don't let that happen, because I couldn't let that happen. Because it wasn't possible. So here, if I look at scripture, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. That means if I stop trusting in him, I could start leaning to my own understanding, right? And some ways we lean to our own understanding is this. One is what I can do. Meaning, if the Lord's really encouraging you to do something, or what are you looking at? Don't just look at what you can do because you're limited. Don't look at what you know because you're limited. Don't look at what you have because why? You're limited. And if you're just looking at those things, then I would be, leaning to my own understanding. What I know, what I can do, and what I have. Not what he told me to do or what his plan for me is. So I'm limiting myself. Like, you know, for example, if the Lord told you, I want you to give something, this much money or what have you, and you would say what? Lord, I don't have that much. Well, why limit yourself? You don't have it maybe in your pocket right now, but that doesn't mean you're not going to have it in the future or you can't believe for it, right? Yes. You know, my one daughter, she's 11, and I have another one who's 10. And so on their petition, you know, every year we write a petition of the things we believe in the Lord for. It's a good thing to do. So it kind of keep your faith on target, right? So my one daughter who's 11, she wrote, I'm believing God for $1,000 this year. And her sister sees her and goes, okay, I'm going to believe God for $1,000 too. I mean, $1,000 as well. And so somehow, I don't know how, but I know how to be the Lord because they don't work. So my middle daughter, she made her goal of $1,000. You know, people would send her like cards in the mail, like, we really love your daughters. And they would give her money. I'm like, how about loving me? Do you love me? I helped in the process of making them, you know, growing them up. You should love me a little bit. Well, my second daughter, she made $500. She was so disappointed. And I said, what are you disappointed over? She says, I only got $500 this year. So about $10 a week. I said, well, you didn't get your full goal of $1,000. But you did pretty good for a 10-year-old because you finished the year with that. So that's not bad. I said, now you just roll that over to the next year and keep believing until you get there. But in the meantime, you keep, and we sit down and we talk, and we say, why are you wanting to get this? The big goal is so you can give something back to the Lord. So in all our getting, like we would have this talk like, what are you giving? If I'm just getting, well, that's great, but why am I wanting to get? So on our petition, we have the giving goal, what we want to give. And we just break it down by week. And I can show them, hey, look, if we're trusting in the Lord, then it's not just about what we know, or what we have, or what we can do. As we look to him and don't lean to our own understanding, he will direct us, right? He'll cause us to increase. He'll make our stuff last longer. Right, we'll get the good deals, like when we go to the store. Like for those here in Texas, HEB, their health food section is 25% off today, last day. So if you like that kind of stuff, you save 25% plus whatever coupons they have. I'll give you an example. So they have the protein powder, right? Normally $40-some. Then they had it marked down to 37. Well, okay, 37. And then they had a coupon that said 30% off. Okay. And then they said, well, Friday or Saturday and Sunday, it's an extra 25% off. So I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to wait one more day. Not buy it today, I'll buy it tomorrow. So I went in there from 47 down to 37 to 26, 24, whatever. And he comes out to $15 or $16. So I'm thinking, hey, Christmas presents are going out. You know, I'm going to buy something here. Why? Well, if I just trust in the Lord a little bit, I can believe, Lord, you can make my dollars stretch longer, right? You can help me. And I'm not looking to what my own understanding, I'm looking to be led by you, right? So as we begin this new year, I think it's critical, important, this being said, that we don't live to this year in our own understanding, what are we looking at? Who are we trusting, or what are we trusting in, right? Psalms 112 says it this way. Psalms 112, verse 7, it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And, you know, we heard a lot of evil tidings, COVID-18, COVID-19, COVID-20. I mean, you know, whatever. And if all you're doing is listening or looking at that, that could keep you from trusting what? In the Lord. Amen. You could be trusting in the trouble, not in the Lord, not in the one who wants you to what? Be triumphant. Amen? Amen? So we're not to keep our eyes on that. We're not to be looking at that. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in a pretty rough neighborhood. You know, I used to run home from school, not because of exercise, but to survive, right? And we had, you know, I tell this story, but I was in health class. I was in ninth grade, and the school I went, this is my school, where I grew up, where I went to. And we always had those troublemakers in your class. And, you know, nothing really seems to happen to them. You always wish something would happen to them. Well, we had one kid, he was smoking illegal substances in the back of the classroom. And the teacher doesn't kick him out. He just says, you better put out that wacky tobacco before I have to come back there. I'm thinking, I wish you'd just go back there. Right? Well, we got trouble. My focus wasn't on good grades. It was surviving. Right? That's why I want to just get through this. Right? But as we trust in the Lord, he'll get us through what? The trouble. And always causes us to what? Triumph in Christ. Hebrews 12:2 reminds us that we are to what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That we're supposed to be looking, which is present tense, not looked or shall look upon, but looking unto Jesus. That means continually gazing on him. Why? Because he's the one that helped you start. And he's the one that's going to help you finish, right? And it says he's faithful to do it. He's faithful. John 14, verse 1, Jesus is speaking, and he says it this way, "Don't let your heart be troubled." Now, you know, in the world we live in, there's a lot of trouble. But you don't have to allow your heart to be troubled. Amen. Amen? And if your heart's being troubled, then who's allowing it to be troubled? Well, if my heart was troubling me, then that means I'm allowing it to trouble me, which means I'm not trusting in him, because you can't be trusting and troubled at the same time. Amen. You can't. You can't be, you know, like, you ever notice when you get under pressure or you get anxiety, your Thanksgiving goes down? I mean, typically, if you go into a hospital, people aren't rejoicing and glad and shouting hallelujah in there. Right? So if I don't want to be troubled, if he says, don't let your heart be troubled, trust in me, believe, cling to, rely, depend, and look on me, then if I'm starting to get troubled, then that's an indicator that I'm not looking at him. Because if I was looking on him, I wouldn't be troubled, right? If I start trusting in what I'm seeing, if I'm trusting in what the world is saying is going on, then I'm not trusting in the word, right? Amen. So I have to get what? Back on here, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own way of thinking or what you have, what you know, what you got. Don't lean that way. Lean to the what? To the word, right? 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34 to 35, it says it like this. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God, the God of our salvation. Gather us together, deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Right? He's saying what? Give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because in Christ, you always have victory. You always triumph, right? Amen. You know, the name of the church isn't Troubled World Christian Church. We got some trouble in this church. You want some? Come and get it, right? No, you kind of want to avoid that, right? It's Triumphant Word. So that means we're trusting in his word more than we're trusting in what the world is saying. The glad tidings is Christ, not COVID, right? Amen. Christ, amen. And you know this, 1 Peter 1:8 says, and I know Pastor Ed's talked and shared from this, says, even though you haven't seen him, you love him, you don't see him, believing, you rejoice. Meaning, believing, trusting, looking to him, relying on him, you rejoice. This is how we are to what? This is how we are to live. So, in advance, we can thank God for victory. We're thanking him, even whatever going on in the natural. We're not moved by it. Why? Because we're looking to the supernatural. We're looking to what? His word. Amen? Amen? But I will say it like this. If I'm leaning to my own understanding, now there's going to be trouble. Because then he can't direct me like he wants me to be directed. Because, it said, don't lean to your own understanding, and he will make your path straight. But if my paths aren't straight, then that's not his fault. That may mean I'm not looking or trusting in him with my whole heart. So I'm withholding or clinging to something other than him. Right? You know, and as Brother Steve shared, how important it is when we give to the Lord, it's a reflection of our heart. You know, like how sometimes people hold that money so tight, it rips. it's like you go to HEB, I'm going to pick on HEB a little bit, but you put that money, you got self-checkout, that thing takes your money so quick. It's like, it's gone. I'm like, what happened to it? And like, change will be coming out, and the dollars come out, kind of slow. Like, they want to make sure they don't give you too much. What if you had two stuck together when you're putting it in? You better make sure you know how much is going in because it takes it so fast. It's like fast. Like they just took my money that fast. And like change will be dispensing. Well, they never give you the warning like money will be being taken. Money is being confiscated. They don't give you that. They just, you just barely put it, it's gone. They want to make sure they get it, right? And then the change is dispensing. You go, penny, penny. We're double checking inside, you know, quarter, nickel, dollar, you know, they want to make sure nothing sticks on the way out, but they don't care what goes in. You know, you could have two bills stuck together, it's gone, right? Well, you know, if we understand that, well, if in our life there's trouble, or if I'm starting to rely or cling to myself, what I have, what I know, what I can do, then I'm going to lose my joy. Like, remember the young servant, the rich young ruler, who was going to follow Christ, and Christ said, you only lack one thing? I mean, what if Jesus told you, you only lack one thing? Man, I would be excited. My wife tells me I lack many things, right? I'm just like, nothing that's irreplaceable, it can't be fixed, you understand? But, you know, you got to do this, you got to do this. So, okay, I get it. But he only lacked one thing, and yet, because it was attached to his heart, his stuff, it said he went away sorrowful. He didn't go away what? Rejoicing. He went away sad. So sometimes when the Lord's looking to us or to move us up or grow us up, he's going to require of us something. And it's usually something we already have that he wants us to let go of so he can get us something what? More. Amen. Amen? It's like kids at Christmas, you know, they pick up all their toys and they see another present. And they want to pick it up, but they can't because they have their hands full. They don't want to let go of what they got to get something else that they might want, right? Seems like that with us, with the Lord. So are we looking to Christ, or we're looking, therefore, to him, we can rejoice and not be troubled. Why? Because our trust is in him. So this year, as we start out, where should our trust be? Our eyes, our focus should be on him. Amen? And just like my daughters, I just want to encourage you. I mean, you know, it's going to be about trust and what you're believing, but all things are possible for them that believe, right? Amen. And then saying what you believe. And then I know this, like there's a couple times I wanted, you know how like you want to collect something or get something, and then you think, man, when I get that, I'll be so happy. Oh, I'll be happy. And then the second you get it, it's great. And then you think, well, maybe I could get one more. Or the anticipation of the feeling of what it's going to make you feel like doesn't match what it makes you feel like when you get it. Like, for example, I wanted to collect a certain coin from a certain year. I think, man, if I get that coin, woo, I'll be excited. And when I got it, I was like, yeah. Well, maybe I need two of them. Because that feeling didn't match my expectation, the feeling I had before. Why? Because I may be trusting in that to make me happy or feel good or joyful. Because then my eyes aren't necessarily on what? The Lord. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we can't collect or have things, you understand, but we should never let those things have us, right? Amen. So here it says again, though you've amplified, 1 Peter 1:8, says, though you see, have not seen him, you love him, and though you do not even see him now, you believe and trust in him, and you greatly rejoice, and you delight with inexpressible and glorious joy. See, trusting in the Lord with all our heart, what are you looking at? If you're looking at trouble that's going on in the world, it's going to be hard to be thankful and rejoicing. It's going to be hard for the Lord to lead and guide you because your eyes are not on him. My eyes wouldn't be on him. They would be looking to whatever natural things that I can do, have, or know, or see, or whatever. But if my eyes are on him, then I'm not afraid of evil tidings. I'm not afraid of trouble that might be coming. Because I know what? I know the Lord can keep me. I know the Lord can sustain me. I mean, he brought you through 2020. And, you know, sometimes we didn't even know what we were doing. And he still brought you through. Amen? Amen? You know, you wonder, man, I don't know how I made it. Well, just think if you knew a little bit more, how much more you could make it, right? So I say it like this. I was thinking about this. Because we're looking at the word trouble. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. If Satan can't distract you, then he can't defeat you. Or if he can't trouble you, your heart won't be troubled, then all you have left is triumph. Right? Because you're looking at Christ and not the crisis. You're not looking at your own lack. You know, like as a, and I, you know, when I think about smarts, brains, intelligence, I think I'm really pretty basic. Now, some people think I'm very intelligent, but me, I just think I'm very basic. But I just look at it like this. If I had something and the Lord said, I need you to give some money, and I already didn't have enough money, well, then it kind of dawns on me, I don't have enough money anyway to meet this obligation. So I might as well give what he's telling me to give simply because I already don't have enough. And if I was so smart, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in. So I need his help, right? I need his help and his trust. I mean, my trust has to be in him, not in myself. I don't want to lean to my own understanding. No, I wanted to what? Trust in him. Amen. Trust in the word, right? Because when I'm trusting, that's when I'll be triumphant. If I'm not trusting, then I'm going to get what? Trouble, right? Amen. So it says this is 2 Chronicles. And I would say this. One key big indicator as to your trust muscles, right? You know, like back in the day, I don't know, all the guys, maybe the girls work out today, maybe, but guys. But, you know, guys, you think, I used to work out all the time. And then it, in your mind, you think you're still there, like what you used to do. Like, and you don't realize it's been like 20 years or something. And your muscles aren't in the same shape as they used to be, right? So you think, I'm going to go do this exercise or that. And you think, man, what's wrong? What's wrong with that pull-up bar? It doesn't give me, I got better grip. I need a better grip, right? I used to be able to do this, but now you're like fractional of that, right? Well, what's happened? You haven't exercised those muscles for a long time. They're still there. They're just weaker than what they used to be when you exercised them. Well, my trusting in him muscles, one way I know I'm getting there is by giving him thanks. Rejoicing, giving thanks, saying it out loud. Lord, I'm trusting in you, right? My heart is not afraid. I'm trusting in you. I always have victory. I always triumph in you. I always triumph. You always give me the victory. I always overcome, right? Even if you're going through trouble, you're not moved by it. Because, you know, this is just a process. I'm just going through here. Man, I'm not staying here. I'm not camping. I'm just going through. Amen. So I can tell where I am in my trust, not in yourself or trust in the Lord with all your heart. I know kind of where I am based upon how much thanksgiving and rejoicing I'm doing. If I'm whining and complaining, that means my trusting muscles are weak. Don't even get up on the bar, man, because your muscles are weak. Right? What you used to do, you're not there, but you can get back there. How? By start rejoicing and giving him thanks and acknowledging him, saying, Lord, I'm trusting in you, right? I'm not saying I'm not going to be challenged, but my trust is in you. 2 Chronicles says it this way, and I know you guys know this story. But 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20 to verse 22, says, early in the morning they went into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe, what is another word for believe? Trust, cling to, rely, depend, look on, lean on the Lord, right? For his mercy endures forever. Right? Believe in the Lord your God, you'll be established. Believe his prophets, and you will what? Prosper. So he says, now I'm not saying this is, okay, let me say this. In my mind, way of thinking, when I talk with like Pastor Ed, I say certain things, he goes, oh, that was pretty cute. I'm like, thanks, right? But 2020, like the year 2020, because this is 2 Chronicles 2020. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Saying trust in the Lord. Okay, so we did that. We made it through 2020. And then verse 21, so 2021, which is this year, right? I'm not saying this is numerology or anything. I'm just, you know, throwing this out there. It says, when they consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of his holiness. They went out before the Lord, before the army, saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. So this whole year of 2021, you could be, doesn't matter what's going on around you, you can be saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. My eyes are on him. I'm trusting in him. And, you know, it says, Mark, when Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Why? You can control that. You can control everybody else's heart, but you can control yours. And you don't have to. I don't have to let it be troubled, right? You ever notice how sometimes people get real excited real fast? And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's refocus here. Settle down. And then verse 22, it says, and when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which came against Judah, and they were destroyed. So this is an indicator. You put your trust in the Lord, and then you keep rejoicing and praising him and giving him thanks, and that he sets the ambushments against the enemy, and they destroy themselves. Right? They turn on themselves. Your job is to what? Believe, trust, give thanks, rejoice. That's my job. That's your job. And when we're doing that, then the enemy can't cause you too much trouble because your eyes aren't on the troublemaker. Your eyes are on the triumphant creator, right? You're not looking at what the trouble is going on. You're looking at, look what the triumphant creator has done for me, right? And you know, you have to see, there'll be pockets that you won't be touched. Remember Psalms 91? Though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it won't come near me. What is that? It won't. What is the it? Whatever it is, it ain't coming near me. Yes. Amen? It may be happening around you, but it doesn't have to happen to you because you're not looking at the trouble. You're not looking at the, you know, the toil and the trouble and all the situation, the circumstances. Your trust is not in what's going on in the world. It's in what's happening in the Word, right? Yeah. It's in him. So I like Psalms 23. You know, so we could say in 2020, you want 2020 vision. You know, everybody wants to go lie down and get 2020. Well, you trust in the Lord. That's how you see things clearly. Is you trust in him. 2021, this year, you rejoice and give thanks. Amen? That's the thing you need to do to get to the place where you become triumphant. You don't even have to wait to verse 22 or year 2022. You can be triumphant this year right now. Amen? I like Psalms 23. We know the psalm, but he says, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or darkness, what is it? I will fear no evil, for you are with me, right? The Lord, you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I like this, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So, valley of the shadow of death, you know, he's not talking about heaven. There's no death valley shadow there. It's here. So even though you're walking through this earth, it says what? It says, you'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That table of triumph. Right? You just sit at that table and you got trouble all around you, but it doesn't matter to you. Why? Because you're trusting in the Lord. You're at the table. Amen. In the presence of your, you know, in the presence of my enemies. That means they see you, they know what's going on, but you're untouched. Amen? Amen. And I say it this way, when you're seated at the triumphant table, then the toils and troubles don't move you. They don't come near you. Why? Because you're trusting in the Lord. Amen. This is how you get to be, when we talk about triumphing, being a victor, you keep your eyes on him. Your trust is in him. It's fixed. You know, Again, when I grew up, whenever you saw wet cement, what did you do? You wrote in it. You didn't write your real name. You just wrote something that nobody could attach to you, you know, later on. Like your nickname or something that you just made up. And then when that thing got wet, it was wet, you wrote on it. What happened when it dried? It's fixed, man. It's nothing coming out of there. It's fixed. Well, when you keep your eyes on the Lord and you fix your mind, your heart, your attention on Him, then whatever's going on around you, it doesn't matter because you're fixed. Like dried cement now. Trusting in Him. All you know is you're coming out. You're going to make it, right? You're going to be triumphant, right? Because you go to a church called Triumphant Word, Christian Church. Amen? Amen? Nobody wants to go to a church where it's, you know, the first victims church of Virginia or something. You know, like, what? First victim? No one wants to go there, right? Lovers and losers, you know, Church of Louisiana. You're like, losers and what? No, I don't want to be a loser, right? In Christ, we always are triumphant in Him. Amen? So I say it like this, though, but what are you looking at? Are you looking at the trouble in the world or the triumphant Word of God? Which one are you looking at? And whatever you lean on most is what's going to impact you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we just keep our eyes fixed on Him. So I would say it again, believing what you rejoice. Consider this, Colossians 2:15. I like this. This is wonderful. It says, Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness. He's stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. Amen? It says, He was not their prisoner, they were His. So it sees that Christ triumphed over the enemy. Amen. And that you're in the body of Christ. Right? So what would that mean? That means you should be triumphant over every deception, every distraction, every distress, whatever the enemy tries to throw at you. You say, I'm trusting in the Lord. This is nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because we're looking to the world. What you looking at? You know, as a kid, everybody said, what you looking at? And you say, what you looking at? And say, oh, no, I'm trying to figure that out. Oh, yeah? Well, I'll tell you what, right? You go back and forth like that. Well, when the devil puts you in a place to want to get you to look at one of his pictures, you need to bring up the picture of what Christ did here. Say, hey, what you looking at, devil? Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus triumphed over you. You want to see some Colossians 2:15? That's what it says right there. Did you guys ever hear that story of the parrot? No? The parrot in the... Okay. Have you? Okay, well, I'll tell it anyway. So the parrot is in this pet shop, right? And this husband and wife walks in, and the parrot says, Mister, your wife is the ugliest woman that's ever come into this store. Well, he gets upset, right? Gets upset, gets mad, and he says, I told this to Pastor Ed. I'm not sure if he quite got the joke like I intended, but anyway. So he says... Goes to the manager and he says to the manager, that parrot just insulted me and my wife and I. He says she's the ugliest woman that has ever come into this store. Well, he goes, I can't believe you treat customers like this. So the manager goes over and talks to the parrot. And he says, parrot, listen, you're not to talk to the customers like that. He goes, and you will be disciplined. So he hits him on the beak a couple times, pulls out a couple tail feathers, a wing feather, puts him back in the cage, right? So as the man and the wife were leaving the store, the man looks over at the parrot, right? And he says, what are you looking at? And the parrot says, you know what I'm looking at. Nothing's changed. Right? And the idea here is when the devil comes to try to cause you trouble, to get you distracted, right? To get you to lose your trust in the Lord, you should just go back to Colossians 2:15. It says, you know what I'm looking at, what you looking at. Let me show you Colossians 2:15, because nothing's changed, devil. You're still defeated. Christ stripped you. That's why my trust is in him. And I'm seated with him in heavenly places. Amen? That's why Colossians 1:12 says it this way, giving joyful thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Amen? We're not just to give thanks, but we're to give what? Joyful thanks. Amen. Exceedingly joyful. Why? Because in Christ, we are triumphant in him. That means we got this victory as we keep our eyes trusting in the Lord. This is what? Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't look to your situation, circumstances, or problems. Why? Because the Lord will lead you out of that and into victory, into triumph. Why? Because we're trusting in him. Allow him to direct your paths. Don't look at the troublemaker. Look at the triumphant creator. Don't look at what's going on in the world. Look what's going on in the word. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm done. Hallelujah. Oh, you guys are smiling. I know I got done early now. I know this was early.